You're listening to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. On our last episode, Carrie and I talked about three mistakes destinations make when working with influencers. And today we're talking with Beth Ridgway, who works with the Huntsville, Madison County CVB, but not for much longer because she's about to transition to a new job with NASA. Thanks for being on today with us, Beth.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, now that I'm transitioning, I can spill all of the tea. I can give you all of the details.
Well, Beth, we're so excited that you're our guest today, and I can't wait to hear all of the information that you have to share with us and some of your real examples of working with destinations, what that's like. So before we start all that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So I have been in the tourism marketing world for about 4 years. I started out working on social media, doing the websites, and slowly I started working with travel writers, influencers, bloggers, whatever you'd like to call them. They all are the same thing. I really don't prefer one title over the other, but I have definitely learned some lessons along the way.
Yeah, that's cool. And I know I have learned a lot from you. So let's just jump right in. You've worked with many, many influencers and creators, travel writers, like you said, over the years. So tell us about one of the success stories you've had when working with an influencer, creator, writer.
Sure. So one of the things that I think really has helped me is to have a very narrow focus or a very clear pitch of somebody coming in. So this is Vicky Sosa. She is Buddy the Traveling Monkey. She and her partner, he's hearing impaired, they came into Huntsville, and she had been there before. But something that I wanted to explore this time is how we could be accessible to him. And one thing that she said that he was ever able to enjoy was a planetarium show. And so because it's so dark in there, and we are the Rocket City, so how are we going to make sure that this person has a great experience? So we worked with someone who does ASL. She wore white gloves. We worked with the U.S. Space and Rocket Center and the Intuitive Planetarium, and they were able to translate, and he was able to enjoy a planetarium show for the very first time. But knowing the difficulties ahead of time, knowing ways to set up, and knowing the right partners to reach out to was part of that success. And now we have something that she's created that we are able to share out and let people know that, hey, anyone can enjoy our intuitive planetarium. It is not just for people who are able to hear. It is not just for, you know, certain types of people. And we're very inclusive. And that's one of the things that I was just really trying to work on in that particular setting, in that particular blogger contract.
So it sounds like to me the key to the success was that they came in, they had a very specific niche, and that set them apart. They knew their own needs, and they were able to communicate that really well to you. So you were able to plan ahead. Does that sound right?
It's absolutely that. If you have a really narrow focus and you know exactly what you're trying to accomplish, because if you try to be all things to all people, you will be nothing to no one. So you just really need to have a focus when you come in and you work with a destination.
Well, and I really like that this is a smaller niche. And so it's encouraging to influencers that are smaller, mm-hmm. That may not have a huge following, because destinations want to appeal to many different types of people. And so it's kind of a, if you have a small niche, that's actually kind of a good thing if you sell that to the destination and tell them how that can apply to them.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, we've seen that people travel. Like, it does not matter if you are any orientation, any color, you are able to travel. And that is what people like to do. And they like to connect. And they want to go someplace that looks and feels and seems like they will be identified as a person who will enjoy the area. So I just want to make sure that we have content out there that's going to share those thoughts and feelings for people.
Yeah, that is really cool. Do you have another example of a successful collaboration that you'd like to share?
So this one that I'm thinking of, her name is Shoba George with Just Go Places. And she came in and she was like, hey, my son's coming in for space camp. I have about a week, and they lived in England. And so we have a lot of international visitors come through. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, well, you know, like a whole week. What do parents do when they have a whole week to spend in Huntsville? They don't want to just drop their child off at the airport and then, you know, they want to come with them and explore the state of Alabama, or at least the north part of Alabama or the city of Huntsville. So I thought, what a cool idea to show what do parents do during space camp. And so I worked with her, and I even worked with you, Malia, on sending her out to a couple of different road trips. We used that hub and spoke model of keeping her in Huntsville, but sending her out to different places like Cathedral Caverns, or I think we sent her to Cook Museum and Point Mallard at the time. And, you know, just showing her all of Huntsville, showing her, because she had a little bit of a longer time, showing her some of the more local places that people might go and eat breakfast, or getting her into some restaurants that might not have been open every single day, because that's always a problem sometimes with destinations, is restaurants will be closed on weekends or attractions are only open Wednesday through Saturday. So having her for that longer time period, it was something that I knew that people were looking for on the internet. I knew it was something, and she, when she reached out to me, she kind of asked, well, what can we do? And I thought to myself, you know, it's a long time to host someone for that long. Hotel rooms add up. And so a lot of times as a destination, you go to hotels and you say, well, can I have a media rate, or is there something that you can do? Can you maybe comp this room for one night, but for, you know, 5 to 7 nights, That's a big ask. So partnering with another organization like Malia to help get some money in there, and other destinations, if you work together, you can get a big fish like that. And she was able to create some amazing content for both myself and Visit North Alabama.
Yeah, I remember when she came in, and I still see things that she's posted and still share them. So yeah, she was a really good one to have to come in.
So I guess my question is then, Beth, what tips would you share with our listeners that would help them have similar success as this account that you're talking about now?
So when you go in and when you first reach out to a destination, I would suggest looking up that destination. Just Google them, do some keyword research.
Yeah, it's hard if you don't know where you're even pitching to.
I mean, but to be quite frank, there are people who do that. Yeah. They just are like, here, I know this name. Let me just send something out, and to do a blanket email to 5 different places. And then to also know, okay, who is my audience? If I know that people are not going to, if I have a really big, you know, beach audience, well, I'm not going to send them to Huntsville, Alabama, because as much as I love Huntsville, there's no beach here. So you really want to make sure you know your audience, and you know that the place will be a good fit for you and your audience. And it will be someplace that they can actually travel to. Gas prices now are incredibly high. We have, you know, airfare that is going crazy. And so a lot of times destinations are going to focus on that drive market first. That's going to be probably a priority through the next year, year and a half, just to be quite honest, as we move forward and come out of recovery. The hospitality industry is still reeling from COVID-19. We are really working on a worker shortage, but what we can offer people, because as we're trying to build back our teams and as we're trying to build back up our travel numbers, people want to travel. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. Our numbers show that. And so what we want to make sure that we do is give them an affordable trip that they can come onto, and make sure that when you pitch a destination, here are my ideas. And I know that A, you have a rocket, and B, you're in North Alabama. And yes, you have an airport that I can get to. Or saying something along the lines of like, my audience is, you know, 25 to 54 year old females. We know they are, you know, family members. We want their STEM educated. We really want to get them into Huntsville. And that gives me the green light to go ahead and start researching you and researching the travel writer to see if it would be a good fit.
Yeah, that was some good tips there. Okay, so we've talked about some successes. Let's dive into some mistakes, because they help us learn, right?
Thank you.
Beth, will you tell us about a time that you worked with an influencer and it didn't go so well? You don't have to name names. We won't name names.
Yeah, not for this one. I do want to go out, but maybe not burning any bridges. I can't remember. I think it was like a 90210 quote that says, "May the bridges I burn light the way." And I'm just like, that's just not my style.
It's not your motto.
90210. I miss that show.
But so I planned out an itinerary, and this travel person did not follow it. They wanted to stay in their hotel room and just work on things that they had planned. And all, you know, what is that novel, Great Expectations? We really need to set the standard at the very beginning, set that conversation. That was one of my first or second times to work with a travel blogger. And I was like, oh, they didn't go to this place. And I had someone call me and say, hey, I wasn't able to make that. And I was just like, I made super special arrangements for you to be able to get this kind of VIP access, or for you to make sure that you had a docent there for them to talk to. And you just didn't go. Well, I had work to do. Okay. And so it's, you know, at the time I was so upset. When I thought about it, at the very beginning, I did not say, these are the places that you need to go. I've specifically set up this itinerary for you. Like, it was more like, here you go. Have a great time. I'll meet you for lunch one day. Mm-hmm. And so I think what I learned from that is you have to set the expectations at the beginning. You have to say, hi, my name is Beth Ridgway, and I am so excited that you are coming to Huntsville. I'm so excited we want to work together. Here's what I've planned out for you. You will go to these places. I've specifically called in favors for to get you into these attractions, because that's a lot of times what a destination market does, is they call in these favors. They have these chips, and there are only so many chips you can use, right? And you know, you get those chips back when the content creator publishes that blog and they share it with them. And he's like, oh, you've been featured. Look how great they wrote about your organization, or they just love the botanical garden. But I can't keep sending people to the garden if, one, they don't show up, and two, they don't write anything about it for, you know, a couple of weeks, like months almost. And so to set those expectations at the beginning of, hey, got to go to these places. I need some content by at least 6 weeks after your trip. Please follow up with me.
So as an influencer, I have to say that for any influencers listening out there, when you're handed an itinerary, please follow it. I mean, they've put a lot of effort and time, and there's reasons they're sending you these places. We had one experience where we were sent on an itinerary, and due to flash flooding, which is common in southern Utah, we were unable to do one of the hikes that they wanted us to do. So because we're seasoned and we know, we chose another hike, and we still did a hike. We still featured the hike. And then I called and let them know as quickly as possible that, you know, there was flash flooding. We weren't able to go where they wanted us to. And that worked out because I had good communication, and we had something else that was very similar in the same area that we could go do. So we had done our research to know what was in the area for those types of situations. So that's a good tip also for influencers, is be prepared and have really good communication. If you aren't going to be able to make something, call beforehand and really talk to them about why, but do your best to be everywhere.
Gold stars across the board. Communication is absolutely key and vital.
I find that some people are scared to talk to, I don't know, to call up and to say, hey, we have this problem, or hey, what should we do? But you shouldn't be scared.
No, that's my job, to make sure you have a great experience, because I want you writing as authentically as possible about what you experienced and the time you had in Huntsville.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to what you said also, Beth, about, you know, the influencers looking, you know, doing the research to know what's there. So, you know, like Carrie said, she knew, like, oh, we can do this instead, and it's similar. And so that was kind of like a, you know, contingency plan almost.
Yeah.
If you know the area. So that's cool.
Absolutely.
So Beth, is there another time that you can share with us where maybe it didn't go as well as you had hoped?
Yeah. You know, a lot of times after the fact, there are two things that I think of. And one of them is when we talk about, you know, here's what we're able to offer you, here's what we expect in return. A lot of times the social media is fantastic. A lot of times they will post while they are here, and they will do a fantastic job tagging us. And then the content is great, but sometimes they may get things a little bit wrong, and or they may spell something wrong, or we have an attraction that always does, you know, it's arts all capitalized, it's low meal arts all capitalized, and ampersand entertainment. And they expect, because we worked with the bloggers, for us to contact them and change that. And so, you know, to be open to those changes if possible, because, you know, we want your article to do as well as it can. Like, we want that SEO magic to happen, and we want to be able to share that on our site. But if things are wrong, or if things are closed, to be open to doing that. And the final one I would say is, when we pay for meals, maybe don't get sloshed. Don't go out and spend a lot on alcohol. And, you know, I'm all for getting an appetizer. I'm all for getting, you know, get an amuse-bouche, get your appetizer, get your main course, get your dessert, get a cocktail. I want to treat you to a nice dinner, but I'm not there to treat you to, you know, like five cocktails at a place that is like $20 a cocktail.
Yeah.
So yeah, just to make sure you don't spend a lot. And when you do, you communicate up front with, hey, we will pay X amount of money towards your meal. And then that way they have the communication up front.
So, you know, in many of our contracts, they actually say we will not provide reimbursement for any alcohol. So we'll pay for your meals, but we won't provide any reimbursement. And so that's another thing destinations will do on occasion.
Oh, that's a great idea. I know we feature a craft cocktail and a craft beer trail, so sometimes we kind of want them to get that experience. But for those that we might be sending out just for family things, that's a good one to add in.
Yeah. And going back to being open to content changes, a lot of, you know, destinations or attractions, brands, they don't want to share, you know, the content that you've created if the name is wrong or there's information wrong. And so then it's kind of like, you know, what you've done is for naught, you know?
Right. That ROI is so important for us to go back and show our board members, because first of all, you know, I started out in news when I was younger. And if you would have told me that people make money traveling places and writing about it, I would have thought, you are crazy. I was just like, there are things like media passes, yes, but travel writers? And to find that this is an absolutely legitimate business, that people are, the people who work hard and who are not trying to get a free trip, they really and truly want to help your destination. And you can really weed those people out. And a lot of times those people are open to the content changes, but you just have to be in a good enough personal position with them. And it's all about the relationships. You can't just go in and attack what they wrote. You have to say, I loved how you spoke about the butterflies at the garden. Is there a way that when you mention Huntsville Botanical Garden, it's just one garden instead of gardens with an S. I think that if you go about it in a tactful way, in a way that appreciates that they spent time on something, then they will be open to the change.
Yeah.
Well, and as influencers, be willing to, we're supposed to be detail oriented to a certain extent, because that content does get pushed out on many channels. And be open to receiving that feedback, and then make it right. Even if it means you have to redo a post, even if it means you need to, you know, redo something, make it right with the destination. Those are the destinations that are going to want you back. Those are the destinations that will give you a good reference or a good quote to put on your media kit, you know? So treat the destinations right also by making it right if you and when you make a mistake.
Yeah. You'll get that easy to work with label.
Yes. And we talk. We have a whole group of, of tourism professionals. And I'm sure the influencers do as well, of saying like, you want to go here, or don't mess with it.
Yeah. It's kind of like that rating on Uber, you know, like you give them 5 stars and they're giving you 5 stars as well. Like, no, you don't want to pick up this person, you know. It goes both ways.
So Beth, is there any other things you'd like to mention, tips for our listeners of how they can better work with destinations?
You know, I just want to say, as a destination, I love it when an influencer comes to me and has a clear idea of what they want to do. and what they're asking for. If you can say, I would love to come to your destination, I can drive there myself. If you can cover accommodations and you can cover attractions and meals, or up to $300 worth of meals, I would be, you know, excited to offer you, you know, social posts and a blog post. You know, if you can make that ask very clear and try not to be ambiguous about it, because as once I heard a salesperson say, ask you get, don't you won't. Because we can't read your mind. We don't really know if you're looking for a 3-day trip or a 5-day trip. Mm-hmm. And when you go to ask to come to our destination, we want to show you all the things, but if only you care about history, you need to let us know that. Mm-hmm. So tell us exactly what you love to do and be as specific as possible. Mm-hmm. And really just kind of, if you need a day to work, you know, on other projects, tell us that in advance. Hey, I need half a day to do this. But that means that I know that you're a worker. It means that I know that you're going to crank out content for me at some point. So mm-hmm. if you can just go ahead and give us those details and asks, then we are more likely to say yes. And don't worry so much about your numbers. I mean, if you're, you know, only have 300 people following you, maybe don't ask for the world. But if you have 5,000 people and those 5,000 people are dedicated space geek nerds and they would follow you anywhere to go see some rockets, then those are 5,000 people that we want in our destination, because we know they're going to spend money and they're going to spend the night. So that's all I would say is just go ahead and ask and ask what you want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if a lot of times we'll be pretty flexible and we can work out a deal.
So I think those have been great tips. The things that I've heard is that people need to know their specific audience, their specific niche. They need to get to know the destination well. They need to ask for what they want and be specific so that the destination knows what they're asking for, so that they can provide a good experience. Therefore, yeah. creating good content, right? Because if the influencer is having a good experience, they're going to create good content about that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, follow the itinerary. The end.
Yeah, definitely follow the itinerary.
And communicate. Yes. Well, Beth, as always, you're a wealth of information, and we appreciate you being our guest today to talk about successes, mistakes, and I know I learned a lot, so I know our listeners learned a lot as well. So thank you.
Thank you guys so much. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.
Well, thanks so much, Beth. That wraps up this episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. We really want to continue this conversation, so we hope that you guys will hop on our social media channels and visit with us about this to keep the discussion going and stay up to date on our latest content. Follow us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. We would really love to hear your thoughts and answer any questions that you guys might have. For transcripts with links, check out our website at www.thedmpn.com.
This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Malia Hames and Carrie Ward and produced by Relic.